There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, nice.
Did you just elbow that record player behind you, that duped box?
Oh, I've hurt my elbow very badly.
Yeah, that's right.
I've cut it open. Oh, no.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I wanted to happen,
okay.
Actually.
Great. Well, it's great to be here. I'll slowly bleed out over the course of the podcast because we cannot stop for any reason.
Nah.
We're recording a little bit late. So we got to power.
It's true. We got to get this out ASAP.
I will sacrifice my life for content.
We were planning on recording earlier, but both of us saw Killers of the Flower Moon.
That's right.
And it went for 4 days.
Yeah, that's right.
So this was supposed to come out Friday.
Mm.
So we apologize. Now we're going to talk about that, Mason. We've got a bunch of other news, which is time-coded below, including news on Deadpool 3's release date, including Captain Marvel, the new tracking numbers, and whether Brie Larson wants to be Captain Marvel, a popular 90s cartoon.
She doesn't want to Brie Captain Marvel?
No. What do you want me to say to that?
I don't know.
Dip down your glasses.
I don't know.
Like, do you want me to
doesn't always
acknowledge
work.
It? Or,
James, this
like,
podcast,
rip, bounce
James,
off
this,
that?
This podcast doesn't always work. I just want you to acknowledge that this podcast doesn't work.
I wanted to
provide a concrete example of the podcast sometimes doesn't work, and here it is.
So, a popular 90s cartoon.
Okay.
It's becoming live action.
Oh,
Gen V season 2, Mason. Man, Matthew Vaughn's been doing the rounds this week and talking about a bunch of stuff, including a Kick-Ass reboot and a Star Wars reboot. And then, of course, Killers of the Flower Moon, et cetera. Mm. Before we do that, Mason, if you're signed up to BigSandwich.co, which I know you are, if you're listening, I know that you are.
Yes.
Collings, who edits this show and does various other things, recently put up all the Q&As we've done over the years, starting like 2015, 2016,
yeah, so
maybe?
For a long time, once a year we would put up, people could make a charity donation mm-hmm. to a charity of our choice.
Which we should do again, but we haven't.
Well, I mean, I think we at a certain point we were like, people are pretty busy. They've got a lot of stuff going on.
Sure, yeah.
And not a lot of money to do that with.
Yeah.
But look, everybody.
We'll funnel it all through BigSandwich.co.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's back and everybody's flush with cash right now.
Yeah,
everybody's struck oil. So we'll bring these back. But anyway, we would ask people to make a donation to a charity. And then as a little reward, they could ask a question to us. And then we would answer them all in a big block. We did that for a few years. And if you donated any amount of money, you could listen to the Q&A.
That's right.
And they're all up now on BigSandwich.co.
Exactly. If you want to hear old opinions on things,
that's right.
They're all there.
Some are probably, if you probably listen to them all in a row, you can probably hear a bunch of stories repeated,
yep.
As well as a bunch of opinions that are completely different from year to year.
That's right.
And just wrong facts. Mm-hmm, oh my mm-hmm. God, incredible stuff.
And being excited for movies that were bad.
Yep, that's right.
That, yeah.
Being excited for upcoming years that were bad.
That's right.
Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
It's got it all, these Q&As.
It's got it all. All right, Mason, it's time for Delays But Good.
I love that.
Due to the ongoing actors' strike, which is still happening, it's all falling down and apart, which I love. They're looking to push back Deadpool 3 off its May 3rd release date to a later date. We don't know as of yet. Apparently about half of it has been filmed as of so far, and it looks as if Captain America Brave New World is moving up from July 26th to fill that May 3rd gap.
I see. Okay.
Which is the... Where the Captain America with the wings is Captain America.
That's exactly right.
And it's about, what else? Is it about Red Hulk maybe, or is that Thunderbolts? Which is the Harrison Ford one?
Thunderbolt Ross.
Okay. Yeah. In the Thunderbolts.
No.
So he's in this?
Yes. He's okay. In this, yes.
Because
no, he's because Anthony Mackie. Oh,
yeah,
sure
he's talking
like,
about him, yeah.
He showed up and he was like,
Yeah, I remember.
Because he's like, let's get it done. And Anthony Mackie's like, that's so cool. He's just here being like, let's get it done.
Yeah.
Let's get it done and over with. What a pro. Let's get it done and over with and leave and smoke weed and get in a little plane and fly around in a little plane.
That's right.
So, what a pro.
So, yeah, so that's all. So apparently Brave New World is... Well, it was called
New World Order.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, you can't really call something like that because there's a lot of conspiracy theories around such a thing. Yeah, I don't really know much about this one, to be honest. And, you know, I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out at the movies.
At the movies on May 3rd, unless it's delayed, which could be.
Could
which
very
things
well
often
be.
Are. Yeah. Yeah, so that's fun. Now, speaking of Marvel, Mason.
Go on.
Deadline are reporting that Captain Marvel. Now, last week it was reported that the opening weekend of that would be 50 to 75 million.
Okay.
Which was a bit of a disappointment.
But not a total disaster.
It could be, depending on the legs. Yeah, it absolutely could be a total disaster. Let me just clarify. But now it looks like it's going to make 75 to 80 million potentially.
That's less of a disaster.
But it's still a total disaster.
A total disaster, and that's unfortunate, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering the last one made $1 billion.
Yeah.
If we're considering this a sequel to Captain Marvel.
That's right, which it is. Mm. I think also, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this, but people aren't going just to see anything at the moment.
It's true.
It's events.
Yeah.
It's word of mouth. That's the stuff that's kind of carrying at the moment, and... Especially when you can't get the actors in the movie to promote the movie.
That's true.
There's not really, you know, there's no buzz around it. After this, there isn't an Avengers movie.
That's
so,
true.
You know, unless it's like amazing and it carries,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
then we'll find out. But it is the shortest Marvel movie ever made, which is either a really good thing or a really bad thing, or it means nothing.
That's right.
I can't tell yet.
Yeah. Could be any of those three things or a secret fourth thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which we'll only know at time.
The director's strike is over.
Yeah, I think so that was over like long ago.
Yeah, that's what
it?
I thought.
Yeah.
So the directors are doing stuff like walking the red carpet with like the names of the cast on their shirt or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And even though the director might not have actually directed this movie, as we've talked about.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Who directs anything, you know? Mm. Who directs anything? Martin Scorsese.
That's true.
And we'll talk about him. And there's a bit of further Captain Marvel news. This is from via the Watch podcast. They said the future...
It's just called the Watch podcast?
Yeah.
Well, damn, we could have got that.
Yeah, but we didn't.
No.
I think
that would die in SEO, though.
That's what I was saying.
Hard to Google it. There's a movie coming out called And.
And?
Yeah.
No question mark, nothing?
Nope, just And.
Let me check that. I'm going to Google that and see
Google's gotten better at finding that sort of thing, but it's also gotten worse at everything else.
Okay, so yeah, it just says popular movies. That's the first result. And the first one is Old Dads,
which may be able to
talk about this week. Yeah, and is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Lanthimos.
Emma Stone, something.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, Google's gotten quite good at, like, if you're like, oh, that band, The, you look them up and it's like, The Band or whatever. Band. But if you're like, how do I change a light bulb? It's like, oh, it's 20, like, AI-generated articles about how nice different types of light bulbs are or whatever.
And how nice are they?
Very nice.
Oh, my God.
If they weren't so nice, there wouldn't be 20 articles, would there?
I guess that's true. Mm. So the Watch podcast has said, the future of these those Marvel icons are unclear. So this is like the people that were planning to replace like the core three. So the departure of the franchise anchors like Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Scarlett Johansson had already taken its toll. And as had the shocking loss of Chadwick Boseman, but other MCU stalwarts?
Yes, sure.
We
get what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. We're heading for the exits. The Guardians of the Galaxy cast went on a farewell tour. Brie Larson grew disillusioned and Marvel tussled with Sony in a custody battle over Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Like he's a child.
He is a little boy.
You have to go live with Sony during the week and then you can come and stay with Marvel, your dad, for the weekend.
Sony sucks.
They don't let me have to share my room with the Spider-Man or whatever. I have to share my room with Morbius.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess the plan was replace Thor, Captain America, Iron Man with like Captain Marvel,
Doctor Strange, maybe.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, new Captain America.
Shang-Chi, where's he?
Where's he? Where Shang-Chi, where's he?
Where is he?
That could be the name of the next movie. Yeah. Shang-Chi, where's he? He's back parking cars again.
I don't know if Brie Larson was the wrong person for the role necessarily, but the toxic backlash means that Brie Larson doesn't want to play Carol Danvers anymore. And fair enough.
Yeah.
Because that shit is crazy. Like, obviously, it's whenever we say this, people are like, what, you can't not like somebody? You can, yeah, obviously, but you got to acknowledge that, like, the absolute fucking vitriol that has been tossed at her, and most of it is nothing.
It, like, is absolutely, it's for nothing, no reason. Yeah.
And now it's all kind of got over to Rachel Zegler as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's copping a lot of flack for Snow White. A movie, like, what do you even care about Snow? Who cares about Snow?
Don't care
what are you
about
doing?
Snow White, yeah.
What are you doing? So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if she's like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's got her Oscar. At. She's got, you know, a bunch of paydays for a bunch of movies that she's done.
She's doing that Apple show where she's teaching everybody about chemistry or whatever.
What?
She's doing an Apple TV show about chemistry.
Huh.
She's like, I love chemistry. I'm an important woman in chemistry or something. It's called chemistry.
Okay.
I don't know what
so this is. This isn't Brie Larson teaches us chemistry.
No, it's not.
I'm
like,
an important woman in chemistry. I'm Brie Larson. It's just rebranding.
It's not like Jeff Goldblum looks at things and goes, ooh, okay. All right.
All right.
That's
bad.
Called lessons in chemistry.
Okay.
There you go.
Does that have a double meaning? Is some of the chemistry romantic, kissy chemistry?
Mason, it's not out till October 13th.
Yeah.
Which is past.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know because I haven't seen it.
All right. Okay.
I haven't seen it. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, they've got other Captain Marvels as well.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it is a thing of, like...
This one's basically like, which one do you like the most? They'll get another movie.
Yeah. Do you think it is a thing where, like, they should have done an Avengers movie by now?
Yeah, it feels like they should have, shouldn't
it's
they?
It's been 4 years since the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
People have forgotten who the bloody Avengers are.
Who are the Avengers now?
John Steed and Emma Peel.
Okay, that's
those
great.
Those two weirdo British people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember they beat up... Sean Connery.
A bit of Sean Connery was in a bear suit.
Yeah.
You remember that? He was trying to build a weather machine.
I haven't seen the movie, but I do remember that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, right.
Those are the kind of circles that I move in. Mm. Yeah.
The Avengers fan club for people who haven't seen remake of the Avengers, but the British version, not the American version, but the movie was American, I guess, anyway.
That's right. Ralph Fiennes.
Uma Thurman.
Thank you. Emma Thurman.
Emma Thurman.
Yeah. All right. This is via THR. So the 90s animated series Gargoyles is being remade into live action.
Whoa.
As a Disney Plus series.
Are they going to get Keith David?
Oh, is he, was he, what's his name?
Yeah.
Goliath?
Yes.
Is that the original cast?
Yes.
Well, that, like that. He was like their Optimus Prime, but he was a gargoyle.
That's right.
So my understanding of Gargoyles was that it was the team behind the Batman the Animated Series. They were
I don't know. It could have been.
They were like, make your own thing.
Ah.
I remember really liking that show.
Yeah.
And apparently it only did like 3 seasons, but it grew kind of.
They're going to get Jonathan Frakes back?
Oh, yeah. He was the guy who lived on top of the tower or whatever, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just having a look here. Blah, 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 blah. Hang on. Yeah. The series was received it's favorably in comparison to Batman. No, that's not what I'm after. No.
So you've made the mistake there of Googling anything.
Yeah. So some of the writers on this year were coming off having written extensively for Batman the Animated Series. So there you go. I knew that was something. And there is a kind of a similar, I feel like, aesthetic between that.
It's the gargoyles.
Well, it's the gargoyles, but it's also that Art Deco kind of, and the gargoyles.
The gargoyles.
And it's primarily. All at night and whatever. Anyway, what do you remember of that show? Tell me.
Isn't the premise that back in the distant past.
Back in the gargoyle times.
Back in the gargoyle times, there were a bunch of gargoyles. And they were gargoyling about.
Yep.
Doing some gargling.
Yeah.
Which is what you called Googling back in the day. And then they get cursed. Don't they get cursed to turn to stone as is traditional gargoyles?
If they're out at night or something.
Or
if they're
out.
That during the day they turn to stone. So
yeah.
They come alive at night.
But they're cursed so that they'll remain a stone forever until
the castle goes above the clouds or
above
something.
Above the clouds, which this foolish wizard was like, well, that'll never happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand urban planning. I'm an idiot. So then Jonathan Frakes hears about this legend. Jonathan Frakes, the actor, and he gets the gargoyles and he goes,
I'm going to use my Star Trek money for something absolutely insane.
That's right. And
absolutely cooked, mate.
And he takes the gargoyles to Manhattan, New York, baby, and he puts them on a big skyscraper and then they reawaken in the modern times.
And they fight crime and whatever.
Yes.
I remember there was an episode where, because some of the gargoyles were smashed in the past.
Yes.
Because you can smash them because they're made of stone.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And one of them, they got like his mind and put it in like a robot gargoyle in the modern day.
No.
I'm like, well, this is some good stuff, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed Gargoyles.
What were the villains, though?
Jonathan Frakes was one of the villains.
Yeah, but besides him?
I think there were other supernatural beings in Gargoyles. Probably that wizard comes back.
Because I remember Gargoyles, but
the wizard comes back and gets hit by a car because he doesn't understand urban planning and urban environments.
Exactly right, you fool.
So Gary Delberman and James Wan's Atomic Monster are behind this. Gary Delberman wrote on...
James Wan's Atomic Monster is behind this?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's doing that instead of atomic monstering around the city.
I think so. Gary Delberman worked on Annabelle.
He held his pencil. Draw on this animation cell, Atomic Monster.
Okay.
Very good. Annabelle Creation, Annabelle Comes Home, and he also did the pilot of a live-action DC series, Swamp Thing, that's a good tone, I think, for that. Yeah. I haven't seen any of the Annabelle movies, but some to all of them are good, and I don't know which ones.
Right.
But I did like that Swamp Thing series from what I saw of it, and then they cancelled it before it was finished. And while they were filming it, I'm not exactly sure what happened there. So, yeah.
Just good things.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Certainly an image of portent of things to come, and all good things. You know?
Are they going to cancel this immediately and then take it off the Disney Plus app because it's not Marvel or Star Wars?
I reckon it'll get one season and then we never see it again.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And that's all you want?
Yeah.
Okay, you happy with that?
Yeah.
I mean, it is this thing of like, do people, I mean, we remember it. Uh-huh. But even then,
I vaguely remember it.
People our age don't really remember it though, right?
No, everybody remembers Gargoyles.
Everybody we know maybe who like moves in our Gargoyle circles.
Sure.
But I don't think it's...
What's Up, Doc?
Yeah, it's not... I don't think it's like school. A common thing.
I think it's a very common thing. All right. They recently remastered the video game. That's
it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go, Mason. You've been watching Gen V?
No.
I'm an episode or two behind.
Okay, great.
But I don't mind it.
I saw a little clip of a cameo, a secret cameo.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh.
Okay, cool. It's been confirmed for season two.
Great.
Apparently the end of this season is going to dovetail right into The Boys season 4, I want to say, they're up to.
Maybe it's going to dovetail into The Boys season 2.
You reckon?
Yep.
That wouldn't make any sense, Mason. Not canonically and in the timeline, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you say that? People are going to be mad. We're going to get emails about that. Right. I hope you're happy.
I am very happy because I did a fun little goof.
So, yeah, that's not really surprising. It appears to be doing well. And I think The Boys season 4, when's that out? Is that out this year? Might be next year.
Maybe. And then that season is going to dovetail into Gen V season next season, right?
Season 2?
Season 6.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
They wouldn't even be Gen V anymore. They'd be like...
graduated.
They'd be graduated. They'd have jobs. Yeah. They'd work in, you know, various pubs in Europe. They're backpacking. I don't know what they're doing, Mason. What do young people do?
Gen V gap year.
All right. We've got some Matthew Vaughn news. He's been doing the rounds this week. He must have something out.
Yeah, it's Argyle.
Which one's that?
The one with the cat.
Is that out?
Is that out yet? I don't know if it's out yet.
No. Okay, cool.
We'll know when we see what Matthew Vaughn has to say.
Okay, I've got no information about that, but he revealed at New York Comic Con and then via EW that a Kick-Ass reboot is in the works.
God, that's twisted. But you'd expect that from the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn, wouldn't
you? He said Kick-Ass changed people's perception of what a superhero film is. Would you say that's true?
No.
Okay, we're doing it again. A little bit?
No.
2010?
Nah.
Come on.
Nah.
I think so.
All right.
There were some ideas there that you didn't see before.
I saw them all ahead of time. Saw them all way ahead of time.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
if anything, I think it set superhero movies back a bit.
I don't think that's true. Anyways, we're doing it again. So basically he's doing a Kick-Ass reboot. He says none of the other characters from Kick-Ass are in it, that we'd like to have them back after the reboot. I can't really talk about it, but it's fun. Now, this to me...
sounds like you're talking about it, bro.
Yeah.
You're saying it's fun.
This to me, though, sounds like that this is a sequel and not a...
reboot.
Reboot. Because in the comic books, there's original Kick-Ass, whose name's Dave Lewitsky or something, and there's a second Kick-Ass called Patricia Lee.
Right.
And she's got, like, a daughter and she's a veteran or whatever, and she takes on the Kick-Ass thing and she... does some mob crime local stuff.
Okay,
so
great.
It's a legacy character. Also,
yeah, sure.
There's Hit Girl. I think Hit Girl pretty much remains Hit Girl and like the same age. But she also at one point, I remember, puts like just a guy in the Kick-Ass suit. She's like, I need like a sidekick. So puts like a normal guy in it. He's like, I don't want to do this. And she's like, shut up or whatever. So what I think he's talking about here when he says none of the characters from the other Kick-Asses are in it, but we'd have them back after the reboot. I think they're going to bring back like... or they'll try to bring back, like, older Kick-Ass.
Yeah, right.
Older Hit Girl and all of that.
Yeah. Well, no, Chloe Grace Moretz's show got cancelled and Aaron Taylor-Johnson is going to be out of work after Craven. So bring her back.
You don't think they're going to go dovetail straight into Craven number 2?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. That was the one where there's a robot and you'd go into a different reality or something?
Correct, the peripheral, yeah.
Did you finish it?
No.
How was it?
Great.
You liked it?
I liked it generally, but again, it's, you know...
why finish it when they're not going to finish it?
No, but I stopped watching before they cancelled it.
Me too.
But no, it's just a thing of like, that show for me is a too much stuff situation.
Okay.
Like I could sit down...
because it's time travel and dimensional and robots.
I could sit down and watch 7 more hours of that, or I could go and watch Killers of the Flower Moon for 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, I've just got limited time now to juggle all this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just on the list of stuff that I got to get to.
But
again, why would I? Because it's being cancelled. And it probably ended on a cliffhanger where they were like, actually, there's another reality.
Another reality?
Yeah. You thought there was only two or three or whatever.
I guess there's actually
a fourth one. Oh, my God, the fourth one?
I thought there was only two or three.
Nah, there's a fourth one, I reckon. Well, three or four, I don't know. I'm a scientist.
You're a scientist?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
There's an extra one, so there's three or four.
Was it different realities or was it a different point in the future? Or it was a reality thing, right? Or it was like, this video game looks so real, but it wasn't a video game?
Yeah, it was a parallel universe.
It was a time pie.
It was a big time pie. It was a big time pie.
Okay, great. That's really good.
I'm a scientist.
He also spoke to the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast.
Uh-huh.
He always gets a lot of good information, this guy, about a Star Wars reboot and Matthew Vaughn and what he would do with Star Wars.
I better be twisted on account of his twisted mind.
Absolutely. Said for me, doing a Star Wars.
Do you think he asked for some? Do you think they vet that? Because you know how the trailer for Argyle says from the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn. Do you think they go, hey, Matthew Vaughn.
Can we say this?
We're going to say you've got a twisted mind.
Mm.
Like, well, actually, I think it's normal. I think I've got a normal mind.
That's rude.
But you would think that if your mind was so twisted, you would look at all the twisted things you thought and you'd go, this is actually normal for me.
Okay, like Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton, the Joker.
That's all normal stuff. Okay. Mm. So you're saying that because it's twisted, he doesn't have a twisted mind? Because he's like, I've got a twisted mind. But he doesn't really have a twisted mind? He's like Jared Leto's Joker?
I don't think he has a twisted mind, honestly.
No?
What if his work is twisted?
I mean, Kick-Ass is pretty
subversive. Not that twisted.
And it set a different trend in comic book
movies. I don't think it did.
Movies.
Of being twisted?
What about when he put Elton John in that movie for a really long time? That was pretty twisted in Kingsman 2.
He wasn't that for a long time.
What about the time when he used Hitler in a post-credits scene?
Was that him?
Yeah.
That is Matthew.
That was Kick-Ass 3.
That's pretty
fun. Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
No, did we talk about the sequel to that?
Oh, I don't know. But it's happening, right? It's the Rise of Hitler.
It is happening. I meant to put that in this week.
The Kingsman sequel, The Rise of Hitler.
Yeah, here we go. I'm going to bring this up. Hang on. Oh, no, I can't, Mason. Where is it?
James, we'll just wing it. You don't need any information.
No, I do.
We're just going to jump in. We'll imagine it.
For those people who don't know, at the end of The Kingsman 3, which was a prequel, at the end they go, well, I'll tell you what, we've got big things planned for you. Adolf Hitler.
And it was a lot of people, including probably us, were like, oh, this is a riff on how at the end of every Marvel movie, at the end there's a ridiculous cameo or like a, you know, a tease for the next thing kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then, you know, a lot of people were like, well, this is obviously a joke based on that. Like, what's the silliest idea you could throw into what's the most twisted, quite frankly?
Yeah.
You could put in there and they're like, well, what if we teased Hitler as the... Like a Thanos style.
Yeah.
So, but apparently they're actually doing
this. They're going to do it, yeah. I can't remember what that's called, but there is another Kingsman 3 movie which is going to have Taron Egerton and Colin Firth back.
Yeah.
And that one's called The Blue Blood.
Okay.
So there you go.
And we've talked quite recently about Big Game, which is the comic book series that ties together all the Mark Miller properties, including Kingsman and
The Traitor King, it's called.
Okay, and Kick-Ass and et cetera. So I wonder. But these would all be separate production companies, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so.
Some of them, yeah.
Although after all from the Twisted Mind of Matthew Vaughn.
It's true. But, yeah, Miller World, some of them were out in other, like he's sold off the rights.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So some are, most are with Netflix and any that have ongoing contracts, which probably still includes Kick-Ass in this, aren't. But they could probably figure that out.
Okay.
So
how do you feel about a secret agent movie that's a bit wacky and twisted, but it's also about the rise of Hitler.
Yeah, we'll take on the rise of Hitler and the English.
Bad guy, I think.
Yeah,
I'm going to put my foot down and say I reckon he's a bad guy.
I'm with you on that.
We
don't agree on much.
Yeah.
But
certainly not on this.
No, we both agree that Hitler was a bad guy.
Oh, okay, right.
Unless you think a different thing.
No, I think that.
Okay. Let's take on the rise of Hitler, the English aristocracy, because, of course, there are links between the English aristocracy and royal family to like German families and also
to a lot of bad stuff.
And also
generally.
Directly Nazis.
Yeah.
For a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's great, isn't it? Anyways.
I don't think it is great.
No, I think it's great that we know that they love Nazis.
Yeah, that's
great. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's a good little signpost.
Maybe if you probably think it's great that would be a secret. That's what you probably think.
I don't think that at all.
So the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast asked him about what he'd like, Star Wars and doing Star Wars, et cetera. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he said, for me, doing a Star Wars movie is to play with the characters I love. They said to me they'd reboot Star Wars and actually have Luke Skywalker solo and Vader and do your version of it. Everyone would say you're an idiot to try, but that would excite me, probably because it's so twisted.
Yeah, that's right.
Why are the characters so hallowed from 1977? You can't redo it for a new audience?
Oh, question mark.
That's right. Mm. Star Wars is a Skywalker family, and that's where I think they've gone wrong. They forgot. They've done brilliantly in TV, but it needs handles.
Someone's angling for a job, aren't they?
Yeah, but it needs an epic new film. That's what I do. Everyone is going to go batshit crazy, but let's bring it on. If you want a new generation, make the movie for them. The old generation, hopefully, you make
bunch of squares
well enough and that you enjoy it.
Okay.
So there you bloody go, mate. What do you think of that?
I don't think I want that at all.
Yeah, well, I'd say why not? Just reboot.
Give it a reboot. Give it a reboot. Yeah, okay.
You can keep the original timeline and
okay.
and whatever.
Yeah. So we're talking Skywalker family, Luke and Leia and Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Either that or like start something else like with different characters in a different part of the universe.
I think the part he said there where he was like, people have lost touch. It's all should be all about the Skywalkers. They tried that. It didn't work.
No, I don't think they did.
Okay.
I think they haven't had a really good shot at like doing a complete different part of the universe and whatever.
Okay.
Just different people.
Sure.
They haven't had a run at it. It's all like Skywalker adjacent.
That's what I'm saying.
So what am I saying then?
You're saying the same thing that I am, I think.
Okay.
I'm saying that Rise of Skywalker was like all about Skywalker and we're refocusing on the Skywalkers. And
okay,
I'm saying,
yeah.
And that's what he seems to be talking about here. He's like, well, I'm not doing that. They did and it didn't work. And I think Matthew Vaughn, what are you? Your mind's so twisted. That's the problem.
It's twisted.
That's your main problem, honestly. Yeah.
Well, if you were to do Star Wars again, how would you even do it though? I mean, you would put yourself in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Luke Skywalker.
As that was everybody.
Everybody?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, like what would you do differently? Like do you not telegraph twists? You know, do you because you can't get to the second movie and go, I'm your father or whatever because it's like.
It's true, yeah.
At this point, it's been 40 years.
Yeah. I'm your mother.
I'm your mother.
And that's how I met your mother.
Because I am your mother?
Yep.
Because I'm that person.
That's correct.
And I always knew me.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's a really good question, Anna. What about a series of 15-minute shorts and you have to go to the movies?
Oh, yeah.
Like the old movie serials.
Is it $6?
No, it's $25. But I've got you, haven't I?
It's pretty twisted.
I've bloody got you.
It's pretty twisted. You and Matthew Vaughn should start a podcast.
Yeah.
It's called Two Pricks.
That's right.
Two Twisted Pricks.
The Twisty Boys, we could call ourselves.
Yeah. And I mean, because they reboot Spider-Man every 4 years.
They do.
And in the comics, there's so many different, like the video, which I haven't yet to play, the new video game, it's a whole different timeline and whatever. And
what about...
But then again, do you want like a new Skywalker saga every 10 years?
No.
Because then you fall into that trap.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What about if it's more like, arty? Like it's more like a Kurosawa film. Like it's what if it's like dead serious, but it's not, and so it's not like quippy and it's very like...
Ronin samurai.
Yeah, militarized and it's like very like... There's not a lot of dialogue and it's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, that I think that's the way I would go. Given unlimited money and complete insulation from fandoms.
yep.
So I don't have to talk to anyone. I do it like that.
Who was the guy? Because they wanted... Yeah, Toshiro...
Mifune?
He was going to be... George Lucas wanted him to be Obi-Wan.
There you go, yeah.
Which would have been pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I think he's dead.
Can't get him then.
Yeah.
Does he have family, though? Because we could get his likeness.
Yeah, we can get his likeness. That's the perfect movie.
That's right.
Great.
What about you? What would you do if you had to?
I don't know. I mean, do you go back to like the Star Wars? I think you'd probably work in more because the original Star Wars is pretty focused on like you could kind of branch out a little in terms of what else is happening.
You're right.
Like due to budget reasons. I think maybe a more serious, not serious, that's the wrong word.
So because when I think of like you said with the Star Wars, when you think about like the Ralph McQuarrie paintings.
Yeah, like that.
It all feels like kind of desolate.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like there's a Han Solo, you know, going around doing quips and, you know, like high adventure. It just feels like this kind of like bleak military universe and there's just like hover tanks rolling in and blowing stuff up and there's not a lot of dialogue and that's what it feels like.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. We both agree. Hitler is bad.
Yep.
And this thing.
Nice. Great.
Great. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Now, it's the spookiest time of the year.
Go on.
I'm not just talking about tax time.
What are you talking about?
Well, we've got new horror movies. We've got, and this one is called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's a, would you say it's an epic kind of murder saga?
James, have you fundamentally misunderstood what a horror movie is?
Well, yeah, I thought it was pretty horrific. If you don't feel that way about the events that have taken place in this true to life story.
I thought they were totally radical.
What?
Yeah, that's right. And totally tubular.
I didn't think any of that, actually. Wow. I thought it was actually pretty bad.
Oh.
Anyways, this is Martin Scorsese's latest movie on a budget of $200 million.
Nice.
And you can see every blade of grass on the screen.
That's that bloody Apple money, baby.
It really is.
Apple gets a little bit of a product placement, don't they?
Do they?
With those apples.
Oh, the apples. They did have apples in it, yeah. The box office return on this is $44 million internationally, which people are saying are good, mm-hmm. is good. I don't think it's very good.
Compared to $200 million.
Yeah, but also, this money came from Apple. It's going to Apple. I would say this will make its money back. And it seems to have good word of mouth. I mean, the only thing is because it goes for 44 hours,
you are
limited by screen time. But
we say that, you know, even though Avengers Endgame was 3 hours and 10 minutes or whatever it
but
was.
But this didn't have like 12 movies leading up to it or whatever.
That's true.
In the Killers of the
Flower Moon. So it's less time, ultimately. Ultimately, the runtime.
Yeah.
The runtime you're committing to is significantly less than the Marvel saga, the Infinity saga.
I guess it is if you look at it like that.
I do.
Yeah. Anyways. What do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah, man.
All right, so it's the 20s-ish.
Yeah.
It's the 1920s-ish.
Yeah, it's a little bit before that, but then it's after maybe.
That is very true. It's set in Oklahoma.
Yep.
And there's
Oklahoma something.
Correct. That's in the background at all times.
I'm glad they got the license.
Yeah.
Actually, because I kept forgetting where this was. Mm.
But that's the home of the Osage Native American Nation. Yes. And apparently their land is very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants it, but then it turns out.
Well, they were moved to this land as well.
Yeah. So it turns, but then it turns out there's oil on the land.
Yeah.
And because they're quite canny, they found a way to control who gets access to the land and who gets paid.
Yeah.
For the oil and so they become one of the richest nations on earth.
Mm.
And
I think it's like per person, it's like the richest place. Yeah. It was the richest place in the world.
So a lot of people come there. Looking for work and for stuff to do.
And looking to take that money, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And then so over the last few years there's been a bunch of deaths of these Native American people and it's like, what's going on there?
What is going on? And it's pretty clear from the get go what is happening. It's not really a whodunit.
No, that's true.
It's a this is how we done it.
Yeah.
And continue to do it throughout the movie.
Yes.
We will do some more spoilers. But this is adapted from David Grand's 2017 novel. And basically what he did, he didn't know much about this going in, which also I also did not. Me and him have that in common.
Yes.
But
what are you guys, best buddies or something?
We don't know each other formally, but okay. I feel like we probably have similar interests and tastes in podcasts. he likes this podcast, I would imagine.
Mm.
But
not for long.
No. But
we got some stuff to say.
So there were bits and pieces kind of known about this ongoing event. You know, people went missing, people were murdered, people died under suspicious circumstances.
Mm, people committed suicide with bullets to the chest.
Exactly.
On the back of the head and so forth.
Things like that. So a lot of these things were known, but he kind of sat down and went through all the documents, like court documents, you know, who was – because a lot of the time if you were a full-blooded Native American, you weren't allowed direct access to your money because they didn't think you were competent. So you'd have to have a handler who would then via the government who would – allocate you resources.
Yeah, give you an allowance, basically.
And some of those people would go through like five different people who would mysteriously die
right.
You know, under various circumstances. So in putting that together, he focused on – well, there was a number of people who were doing this.
Uh-huh.
But a couple of the leads in this, Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio, were kind of the two of the
– I've heard of them.
Two of the main people who were kind of perpetrating, you know, this series of events. And so that's like the focus of the movie, essentially. And I'll tell you what, Mason, it's not a fun time.
Sure.
You're not going to go into the cinema and be like, wow, I am.
It's not unfunny, though.
There are some very fun moments in it. There's some very dark lines and humor and that kind of coming through. But it doesn't feel like something that I want to see again anytime soon.
Interesting.
And that might be
not
like.
Not tomorrow?
Well,
because we could go tomorrow.
I can't go tomorrow, actually, because I'll be looking after my daughter tomorrow.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
I
could bring her, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like if you like The Departed or Goodfellas or Wolf of Wall Street, it's not that kind of experience. Like even though The Departed is grim.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a good, fun kind of time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, some of Scorsese's movies are about like America and like the corruption in America and like people who are trying to, you know, make it by any means necessary kind of thing. But I think this one is sort of more about how like just real obvious evil in the world kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So in this one, Leonardo DiCaprio plays a guy who has arrived in this town in Oklahoma because he was in World War One. And he's just looking for something to do after that. And his uncle whose nickname is King, is kind of like a big shot played by Robert De Niro in this town, who can like, who, you know, makes stuff happen and you know, builds schools and does all this sort of stuff. So he's there to see if he can get a job from.
Yeah.
And
he's a stalwart of the community.
He's a real stalwart of the community. and in coming to town, and DiCaprio gets a job as a driver, like a cab driver.
Yeah.
And then he meets Molly, who is played by Lily Gladstone, who is a Osage woman who has she's got some land rights so she could have a lot of money sort of headed her way kind of thing.
Exactly. And I mean, what's amazing about someone like Robert De Niro, like he'll do like a bad grandpa or like I'm on a road trip with Zac Efron.
That might
be the same movie.
Maybe.
And that's all fine and good. But I kind of forget that like, oh, he's like 80.
Yeah.
But he's still incredible. Mm. He's doing an accent.
Sure.
Which he probably, you know, probably worked at.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably wouldn't do an accent for anybody besides Marty.
I can't imagine he would. Absolutely not. And Leonardo DiCaprio is just frogging it up. He's got the froggiest face he's ever had.
He's
got his bad teeth in.
He's frogging it. He's bulldogging it. I mean, for me, this movie is all about the performances, I think.
Okay.
That like sustained me through the extraordinarily long runtime of this.
I think the pace picks up after like the first hour probably.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. There is a lot of establishing of the world. But he's just a spineless worm of a man. Just
a moron as well.
He's dumb. and look, Scorsese's had some dumb protagonists.
Yeah.
As I'm sure people would know. But just, and he's just a guy who just, he loves money, as he says, and he just wants the easiest path to it, even though it'll, like his, does he have any principles? We don't really.
It's weird because he marries Molly, played by Lily Gladstone, who's incredible in this, by the way. And there is that sense, and I couldn't really find any kind of concrete information because you really get the sense in this that he does love her, but is also willing to just do literally anything to.
He's simple. He's very like.
But also completely unaware that he's simple.
Yeah, like he genuinely does. He genuinely seems to love Molly, but also. His uncle's like, it's probably a good idea if you marry her, because maybe you'll end up with some oil rights. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, well, and then his uncle's like, well, maybe you should do this. And he's like, oh, okay, kind of thing. Like it's DiCaprio in his grub era. He's a real grub.
Absolutely, yeah. And I would also say of like Robert De Niro's character also, not a particularly intelligent guy ever either. Like openly sinister, I feel, even though like he is trusted by the community. But this is often the case with, you know, situations like this where, you know, because our country also is like built off the back of a genocide where nobody's watching. You can just do stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
And that's why he was able to, you know, that's why they're able to get away with it for so long, because nobody's paying attention.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like when, you know, like a serial killer in the 70s is just like murdering women for 15 years straight and he's. Like people see him and they know the car, but nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Nobody writes anything down.
Yeah.
So it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of situation.
Yeah. And Lily Gladstone also has this, like she's got a certain stoicism, but she's got like, again, she
there's a naivety there.
Yeah,
as well,
but she loves, but she loves this man. Also, she clearly knows that something is up. But it's sort of like. But she's also in an era where she can't be like, I'm packing it up and taking it out of here.
Yeah.
But it's and like she's, I don't know. But she's got some great face acting.
Oh
as
my
well.
God!
Yeah,
incredible.
And I saw some criticism. I think of where they're like, she sort of fades into the background at a certain point. But I would say a lot of people at one point, I think DiCaprio's character fades into the background a little bit. Towards the end, he just sort of becomes a cog in what is happening.
Yeah.
So as I understand
some people are introduced where you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot they were in this movie.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
And then it becomes about that.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently the original version of this script, it was going to be about the Bureau of Investigation sheriff who comes in, like the agent.
The Jesse Plemons character.
Who's played by Jesse Plemons, who is assigned to this case of all these Native Americans who are being murdered, and he goes to the town and he investigates it. But then DiCaprio and Scorsese sort of went through the script and was like, where's the heart of this?
Yeah.
And it's not with a guy from the outside coming in and going, like, what's happening here? All crimes. It's about a guy in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but a certain, like, yeah, like a certain point, he sort of, there are so many.
DiCaprio
like,
said, I'm a movie star. Yeah, I want to be in the middle of them. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a movie star. This is my real voice and personality. I'm a movie star.
Yeah, like I can understand that, yeah.
But, yeah, so at a certain point he sort of – there are so many kind of shady characters introduced. There are moments where we like –
you lose track of how many shady characters there are and who's killed who, you know?
It's, yes, exactly. Yeah. A lot of great
just there's just a guy? Is that what you're going to
so
say?
So many just a guy.
Just but, like, look at this normal man.
Well, normal but, like, really interesting faces kind of thing. Yeah. There's
a guy who's, like, got, like, a cloudy eye.
And a big really mustache.
And he's like rake thin.
He looks like a bit like Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Like middle period Sam Elliott. Not like young, gorgeous, mane of hair Sam Elliott. Not like really old Sam Elliott, but like right in the middle Sam
Elliott. Sun damaged Sam Elliott.
Sun damaged Sam Elliott with a bung eye and a big mustache. And he's like a local goon kind of thing. Like he just gets stuff done.
Like he'll do stuff for you, but he's not loving it.
No, he's just scraping by kind of thing. There's apparently a few country music. There's like a few country musicians, like real life country musicians. Okay. The only one I recognize is Jason Isbell, who plays. He's DiCaprio's brother-in-law. So he's the guy that marries Molly's sister.
Oh, okay,
and then
right.
Marries Molly's other sister. Who,
and like initially, you're like, this is a bad guy, maybe, but maybe he isn't.
Maybe everybody's awful.
Maybe everyone's awful. Yeah, I mean that's probably true. Yeah,
but yeah, there's a few other cameos. But again, like. Just a great look.
Yeah.
Great look to this movie as well, like great costuming.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you about, like, the clothing, right? The period clothing.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff all around.
I mean, yeah.
Any specifics? Hats, cloaks, shawls, big ties.
Oh, big blanket shawls. Yeah. Gosh, good denim, you know?
Great denim. This is also filmed.
Great suits, nothing off the rack, obviously, because they didn't do that
back in
the
day. Can't. What do you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was filmed in the same area, like with the Osage people as well, which is, I mean, and that all kind of comes through. Like, it does feel very, I mean, what do I know about this? But it does feel like there was a lot of effort to make this, like, authentic.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Which I really appreciated.
I'm going to get the actor's name, but the actor who plays Molly's childhood friend, he has the alcohol problem.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
He's really good, yeah.
William Bellow is Henry Rowan. He's great as well, tremendous.
Really, really good, yeah. And what's interesting about this, because I was doing a bit of reading, and by that I mean YouTubing, like the true story. And it's pretty much, this is essentially what happened.
Right.
Officially, like when this was all kind of wrapped up, it was 27 dead, but it's probably in the hundreds.
Yeah, for sure.
Like there's no real, again, the records are kind of scattered and there's like people who know people who were around, because it's like 100 years ago, you know, it wasn't, you know, you could easily know somebody who experienced this.
That's true.
You know, at some point. But a lot of it seems to come down to a lot of the murders were that none of these people were recognized as actual people. Mm. There's a moment, these guy you're talking about who's got weathered Sam Elliott, sun damaged Sam Elliott, where he's like, oh, you know, can you murder someone for me? And he's like, oh, I don't really do that. And he's like, well, it's a Native American. And he's like, okay,
yeah,
I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm. Like there is that brutality. And in the murders are so like matter of fact as well. And just like a lot of them, you know, there's no action sequence. Like there's like a bank robbery at one point that I'll ask for like
but
5 seconds.
Like, but like some of them, like as one of the earliest ones we see is a woman who is, she's a Native American woman and she's taking her kid home in a pram and somebody is pointing.
A stroller.
Stroller, is it? Yeah. I don't know.
Or
it
can be.
I don't know the difference.
Different countries call them different things.
Yeah. And a man just points a gun out of a window and shoots her through the chest. And then just puts the gun in her hand and walks away and they rule it as a suicide.
Yeah.
Because, again, if you're not there, they're going to go, well, it looks like it.
Yeah,
sure.
It seems that way, yeah. And, again, like everybody in the town is in on this, like all the doctors, all the local law enforcement. Like everybody knows what is kind of happening.
Uh-huh.
And it's only when they go to the government that, you know, this happened. And I want to talk about that more in spoilers about how we came to that. Should we talk some spoilers?
Let's talk some spoilers. I'm just going to say you look at the cast list on Wikipedia, a lot of the people don't have clickable links. So for a lot of people, I guess this is kind of just their first.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a guy, Tommy Schultz, doesn't have a Wikipedia page, but he plays Blackie Thompson, who is the
Oh, yeah.
He's the bank robber. He's like one
he's
of those.
Fun.
He's another
great.
Kind of all-round.
He's got the cauliflower ear.
Yeah, he's like another kind of all-rounded general grub bad guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Again, all these people are there. They're doing crimes, but they're just kind of scraping through in this awful landscape kind of thing. But he's great and just, you know, ready to turn on anybody on a dime because he's just a...
Well, he also realizes that, like, he's been... set up. There's a moment where DiCaprio's like, come, don't worry, it's all part of the plan. And he's like, me being in jail is the plan, you fucking dummy. Right. Like, this is the plan. You know, I'm a fall guy for all of this.
Yeah.
Anyway, best movie ever from me,
I'm going to say best movie ever, ever as well. You again,
I don't know when it is coming to Apple, so I would say catch this at cinemas.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean.
Just leave a day aside.
Leave a day aside. Yeah, exactly. Eat before you go in.
Yes. But don't drink.
No, I was like, I got to eat and I got to get a cup of coffee before I go in because otherwise I'm going to pass out or get a massive headache or both. I can do both.
No, I believe it.
I'm versatile.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's no longer than, it's only barely longer than a very long Avengers movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I think the half an hour before the movie started or whatever it was, that was what was killing me in the end because I was there for like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, because, Oh, yeah, feel free to show up late as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I reckon call up your local cinema and be like, how many minutes or ads are before this movie?
Yeah.
And then show up right on.
I normally leave my house like 5 minutes before a movie starts.
All right.
And then by the time I get there and park and go in, then I'm, you know, then that's a little hint if you live.
Yeah, nice.
Where I live.
Mm. Yeah.
Which sure. I do.
You sure
which
do.
Which is great for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would say, like, if you have read a lot of or have seen a lot of the, you know, the discourse of the last few years where every time Martin Scorsese comes out and does an interview, they're like, what do you think of the MCU? And he's like, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, how dare you?
What do you
You're
make?
You're just a jealous old man or whatever.
He makes stuff like this.
Yeah, he makes this. It's really good. It's a different experience if you're not familiar with his work. But again, like, he's a versatile guy.
He'd be 80, wouldn't he?
He's at least, I think he's 80, at least 84, 83, 84, something like that. But
he's always learning.
Yeah,
he's 80.
He's always learning and he's done a bunch of stuff because the last couple of months we've had like a lot of Barbenheimer discourse.
Yeah.
This time around it's Killers of the Flower Moon versus Taylor Swift doing the Eras Tour.
Okay, right,
and there's people being like, oh, actually Taylor Swift's going to blow him out of the water box office style. This old man, he doesn't know nothing about concert films.
Care.
But he's done concert films. He's done several concert films.
Oh, man.
I think he's in the One Direction concert film.
Is he?
He just shows up in it. He's just in it.
He's in this as well.
He's in this. he's done. If people want to, he's done.
I did a George Harrison documentary.
Yeah, and he did. He's done a Bob Dylan concert film. He's also done a second Bob Dylan concert film, which I think is on Netflix and people should check out. It's called Rolling Thunder Review, and it's sort of a concert film, but it's also a fake documentary.
Okay,
because some of it is clearly not real. Like a lot of it is like people should look into it. Like there's a lot of like.
Is it actually Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan's in it.
Is he like? Acting? What are we talking about?
I don't. But there's like a lot of stories.
Is it like Joaquin Phoenix's "I'm Not Really a Man" or whatever.
Sort of. There's a lot of anecdotes that I don't think happened. I don't know what's going on with
Bob
that.
Bob Dylan is a big liar, though.
Yeah, he does seem like a big liar. Anyway, the best movie ever for me. But yeah, I think check it out. Or you know what? If you're not super familiar with Scorsese, I don't know. Just so much of his stuff is on Netflix.
You can pick anything.
Check out anything and see if you enjoyed it and. Take a day and be like, if I like that. You know, Wolf of Wall Street, I think, is probably a good.
It's great. That's starting, probably a good starting point.
Or The Departed.
Yeah.
The Departed is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Or Goodfellas. That's a good movie.
And it's good.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
That's actually one of his good ones.
That's right.
I think.
The tip is in the title.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
They should have called it Good Movie.
That's right.
Anyway, spoilers. So Jesse Plemons shows up in this with like an hour to go, as does Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Brendan Fraser and John Lithgow.
As
competing attorneys.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
So Brendan Fraser shows up as just like a battering ram, just a really loud, aggressive battering ram. And I think people have been critical of that. But I think like
– Why?
I think it's because they're like, well, it's such a wonderful performance in The Whale, which I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But in this, he's just like, he's a cartoon character or whatever. And I'm like, but.
Yeah, he's like a big theatrical lawyer.
Yeah, that's the point of this guy is that, like, and I think the idea is the contrast is Lithgow is like this kind of like
He does a bit of that as well.
He does a bit of that, but I think the idea behind Lithgow is he's the guy who's got all the facts and he's calm and collected.
Yeah.
But this guy, who's on the side of the bad guys, essentially,
yeah.
is like his thing is like bullying come in and bullying and, yeah. and shouting and
accusing
and shouting people down and all that sort of stuff. Like he comes in and he's supposed to be helping DiCaprio, but he's like yelling at him and you know gets him in a room and like sort of pins him down with his presence because he's such a big guy and being like, you don't want to betray your uncle, do you?
Stupid boy.
You stupid boy, yeah, kind of thing, yeah. you know? So I thought he was great in that.
I completely agree.
And Lithgow, yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good fun.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, this is not really a spoiler, I guess, but there's just moments.
Well, it doesn't matter because we're in spoilers.
That's true, but we're like, just the KKK are there, and it's just done like it's, because it wasn't a big deal. It was just like, you walk down the street, there's a KKK parade, and you're like, oh, hey, Frank.
There's a KKK. The KKK guys are there. There's a scene in the Masonic Lodge.
Yeah.
Where DiCaprio gets spanked by De Niro with a big paddle. And that's, you know.
Normal stuff.
Well, it's normal stuff, but like clearly that, I imagine that was in the book. And, you know, it's we might be like, why is that there? Probably because it happened. And it's weird, but it was considered normal then.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. I thought the backstory behind the FBI on this was really interesting because it was J. Edgar Hoover who was the
founder,
one of the founders. It wasn't called the FBI, it was called the Bureau of Investigation or whatever it was. They apparently, the reason they took this on was not for any kind of, you know,
altruistic reason.
No, it wasn't for justice. It was because this service which they were kicking off, it needed to prove itself. It hadn't done anything
yeah,
it
wrote. Right.
And so basically this was to prove that this format was effective.
Viable.
Yeah, viable. So that's essentially why they did it. Yeah. So in the idea to like...
You don't want to go the way of Laserdisc, do you?
No,
you got to prove you buy a viable format.
It was essentially like, okay, we're going to formalize like a law enforcement team and we're going to use actual strategy and informants and undercover agents and like fingerprints and handwriting analysis and all of these things which were existing like sciences and techniques, but they never actually brought together as one like cohesive thing. And you can see that because as soon as they bring any kind of law enforcement that's paying attention, the whole thing falls apart because it's so transparently evil.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That I thought that was really – look, you know, the FBI is – I mean, I'm happy to criticize them, Mason. I don't know if you love the FBI or not.
No, I'll criticize anybody.
But it's just,
good or bad, I'll do it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that, the formation of this and the reason it happened wasn't out of the goodness of the president's heart.
Oh, that reminds me Tatanka Means, who is the Native American agent. You know, he's the guy.
Oh, he's really good.
He's kind of tall and lanky. He's great as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I
knew he was undercover Mason.
He is
I knew it from the get-go.
He's a comedian as well, apparently.
Is he?
He's in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, my God.
And he's in
Another classic
And he's
Western.
In Reservation Dogs.
Oh, my God. Another classic Western.
So is Lily Gladstone. She's in it for a couple of episodes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, also, speaking of cameos, Jack White is in this right at the end.
Is he?
He's the guy. He's one of the radio.
Is that Jack White?
That's Jack White. Yeah.
I thought that
it's impossible to recognize.
Yeah, with the hair slicked back. I can see it now.
Yeah.
So at the end, instead of doing like a text that says, "Well, this person went to jail for this long, and this person got off and whatever,"
and it isn't also casino style where we see everybody get machine gunned to death in cars, and then the cars just tumble off the road, crash into a house or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say most. Some Scorsese films end like that.
Sure.
But instead it's we see a radio play in I think the 40s.
Yeah, it looks something like that.
Being performed live as they were at the time with a full band.
Orchestra and a whole lot of Foley equipment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
Dave Foley.
Oh.
Use radio. Go on.
Oh, he's on the radio. Okay. The story is being presented as a true crime story on the radio with voices and like you said, sound effects and so on and so forth, and the final fates of a lot of the characters are
they all basically got away.
Yeah,
they all eventually got away.
Illustrated, but not seen. So,
yeah,
which is an interesting take. We don't see anybody die in prison or die as an old man.
Yeah.
Or Lily Gladstone's character Molly, she dies not long
dies
after, it, like a decade
dies, she
later.
Dies
or something.
At 50 of diabetes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But a decade longer than she was going to live.
That's true.
Because of all the poison that she was being fed. What do you think the deal with – I mean, I think the Leonardo DiCaprio character, I think he did love his wife.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
But like –
But I think it felt to me like he loved his wife, because that was in the era where you met someone and you went, they're pretty all right. Mm. And then you married them. And then that was kind of
that was
you
it.
You made it work kind of thing, you know?
Which included killing all of her family.
And trying to kill her, basically, yeah.
It was also implied that, like, he maybe didn't know he was doing that.
No.
You don't think?
No, he knew it.
No, I just mean in terms of, like, maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it, where he, Brendan Fraser it, where he kind of turned
a blind. I feel like you're laying some groundwork for your own trial, actually, there. I don't know what I was doing. I don't think I was killing her.
I think he turned a blind eye to it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because when he actually stopped and thought about it,
uh-huh.
and then they had the death of his daughter, then he kind of like, he had a what am I doing kind of moment. Because I think he, I don't know. It was complicated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's like a lot of Scorsese protagonists. Like at a certain point, they're in too deep.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no.
We've sum 41 to this. That's too deep.
That's exactly right. Oh, and Scorsese's in this.
Yeah, he's at the end.
He reads Molly's obituary.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyways, next, do you want to hear about his next project?
Yes.
So in May of 2023, Scorsese announced his plan to make a new movie about Jesus Christ after he and his wife, Helen Morris, privately met with Pope Francis at the Vatican.
Oh.
It was recently revealed that it would only kind of function as a movie.
He said, okay, great.
I think I'm going to finally getting around to what it could be.
Oh, so he is finally working with the bloody MCU, eh? Yes.
Got him. You got everyone there.
I got everybody on earth right there. That's right.
It's kind of a film, but it wouldn't be a straight narrative. It wouldn't be a documentary. It's a combination of things. And I think I may have to go back to Shisaku Endo, who was the author of the novel Silence, which is a movie I recommended last week, which is a movie about Catholicism and like the Japanese. It's a really good movie. It's got Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver. Anyway, and The Life of Jesus. Sorry?
They're not Japanese.
They are in the movie, though. They do.
Oh, no.
It's very convincing. It's very tasteful, which I found to be interesting because it takes Jesus as a figure of thinking and a question of Jesus with a point of view that's not Western. And he said the project might have characters playing Jesus and it might be set in the modern day.
Ooh.
Though he added he doesn't know yet as the development is still coming along. So I thought that, like a modern-day Jesus movie potentially could be interesting.
Wow, okay.
Maybe he's got a laser. Maybe he's got an Apple Watch.
Oh, my God. Time to pray.
Oh, my heartbeat's regular. That's good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I think that might be his next project.
I just remembered, speaking of next projects, you said next projects, and then I thought of an actor who's got a couple of next projects coming along.
Mm.
Glenn Powell, and then I thought, did you see the trailer too?
I did.
What's it called?
We Hate Each Other.
It's called Anyone But You.
Yeah.
What a weird trailer. I just wanted to talk
about
it.
Where's the chemistry? What's happening?
Well, see, here's the thing. So if you haven't seen it, so it's like 45 seconds. It's a teaser for an upcoming, allegedly a rom-com.
Yeah.
Called Anyone But
You. Looks like a fake movie.
It's got Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. And
They go to Australia for a wedding or something.
But they have to pretend to. But I had to glean this from like looking it up, the description. They have to pretend to be a couple for some reason.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, here's the thing about this trailer. It's not nothing, but it's also not something.
Interesting.
It's in the middle in such a weird way that I think people should watch it. Because if it was nothing, if it was just like Glenn Powell's sexy, Sydney Sweeney's sexy, maybe they'll be sexy together. Look
maybe
how
they
sexy
will be
they
sexy
are.
Together.
People would be like, oh, I'll see that. But if it was classic rom-com trailer of like, these two don't get along. They're always kneeing each other in the privates. Hey, quit it. Oh, but now they've got a problem. They've got to pretend to be a couple.
But they're always kneeing each other in the privates. How can they be a couple if they're always kneeing each other?
Oh, they've got to pretend to be a couple, but how are they going to do that? Oh, sorry, sir. There's only one hotel room left and there's only one bed and there's no couch and there's
and
no,
it's the big, it's and there's the big no bed that's shaped like a heart.
But there's only room in it if you both take your clothes off. Well, I don't like that. You know? Like if it was that classic rom-com thing where we understand the stakes or whatever, you'd be like, all right, that makes sense.
It's weird because it is framed like a old school kind of rom-com, but it's not.
But there's only
like the Ashton Kutcher of I can't believe I'm marrying this bitch or whatever. Yeah. You know?
But there's only one line. So the trailer's all sexy music, but there's only one line in the trailer where Sydney Sweeney goes, no one's ever going to believe we're a couple.
Mm.
Yeah, we would.
What are you talking about?
Obviously, look at you. Look at the both of you. Like if two people who look like that, if I was at a wedding and two people who look like that showed up in the one car, I'd be like,
yeah.
If they showed
up with different people, you'd be like, what's happening here?
You'd be like, you met in the waiting room of your modeling agency or whatever.
Exactly.
I've got.
I think I know what the twist is.
Why they don't want to be a couple.
Why's that?
Because they're brother and sister.
That'll do it. That'll do it. I have two theories, one of which I think is more interesting, which is why they...
More interesting than that?
Yeah, more interesting. No, more. One of it's more interesting than the other.
Okay.
So I think it's less likely. I think the what I'd like for this movie to be is it's not the movie we think it is. Like it's not a...
Yes.
Like they're both serial killers and one of them wants to kill the bride and one wants to kill the groom. And then they realize they're both serial killers and have to work together or something like that. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Or they're both jewel thieves or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've got to go to this wedding and steal all the stuff or whatever. But I don't think it will be that. I think that at some point the premise of this movie was going to be one of them starts out ugly.
Oh, okay.
But then somebody in like some executive was like, oh, excuse me, is one of these people going to be ugly for half the movie? We can't have that.
No.
We'll just start them both out as sexy.
Yeah.
Okay, but should we change the part where nobody would ever believe they're together? No. No, let's just keep that in. We'll keep all the dialogue in where they're like, I can't believe what no one would. You? I don't think so. Yuck. And then we'll just take out the scene where they get a glow up.
Yeah.
And then it'll be fine.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then it's flawless.
That's probably what it is, you reckon?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, who wrote it?
I don't know. You know who's directing it?
Who?
It's the guy who directed Easy A.
Okay, well, that means it could be something, Mason.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not what you're saying.
Will Gluck. Didn't you do Glee?
I mean, maybe.
He also did Friends with Benefits.
Oh, no, that one's bad.
No.
That's one of those bad
It's one of the Ashton Kutcher ones, but it's the other one. It's the Justin Timberlake one.
Oh, no. Bloody hell.
Yeah, I'm not loving all of this.
Not his track record, not great. Will Gluck.
It's not all terrible.
The Gluckster.
Did he not do Glee? I might be thinking of a different guy.
You might be thinking of a different guy.
Yeah,
James, you might be thinking of a different guy.
No, maybe he didn't do Glee. Yeah, he did the Peter Rabbit movies, which are fucking unbearable. It's because of the James Corden thing, though. They're fine as movies.
Mm-hmm.
God, weird. But, you know, Easy A is good.
Yeah, that movie from a decade plus ago.
He did the Annie reboot.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so there you go. Wow. Anyway, should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?
You're so excited.
I'm so excited.
What are we reading? What are we going to read?
Woo! I'm doing the thing. Whoa!
Whoa!
How'd we get here? There was a song, and now this is...
It's true, yeah.
I'm answering my own question.
Mm. Well, we got changed into our What We Reading outfits.
Correct.
We went down the poles and we flicked that switch, Batman 66 style, and now we're in our What We Reading smoking jackets.
Yep,
and we're
exactly.
ready to go, yeah.
What do you read?
I'll show you.
Oh, my God.
I haven't read it yet. I got it yesterday.
You and your stupid show and tell.
It's show and tell time. You'll be excited
you
when
you got it in the city?
I got it in
Sunday.
I went into the city on a Sunday and I'm like, I'll get this before the movie. And then after the movie, I'll have time to read this in its entirety.
Is it the book of the movie we watched?
Yes. No.
What?
It's this book. It's called MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios.
Oh, my God.
And it's an in-depth look. It's a series of interviews about the
I know Joanna Robinson.
The formation. Yeah, she's a cultural writer.
I don't know her, but I'm familiar with her.
Like that. Other guy you said you knew.
Yeah. I did actually know him, though. That wasn't a lie.
The unauthorized behind-the-scenes story of the stunning rise and suddenly uncertain reign of the most transformative cultural phenomenon of our time, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I saw snippets of this on Twitter, like people read this and pulled out various revelations about, you know, the MCU and stuff like that. So, I mean, I can say I've especially been quite critical of the Marvel Universe.
And I haven't been at all.
Of Marvel Studios and the MCU over the last, you know, couple of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say I am generally very happy that the MCU has gotten as far as it has.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Who knew?
Who knew? And like this, the pretty much the one shared universe that has worked kind of thing.
Yeah,
and, you know,
absolutely.
And seeing all the characters I love as kids, you know, all that sort of stuff. But what I don't love about the MCU, besides all the bad movies, is the fact that we don't get any goss and juice anymore.
It's all...
Everything's
like all
wonderful.
All the documentaries are like, I had a great time.
I had a great time and I'd do it again.
I'm working on Moon Knight episode 7.
That's exactly right.
I never thought I'd be in Moon Knight episode 7.
But what I...
But they let me.
They let me do it. I got to work the leg of the big Egyptian god. I'm going to move his leg. What I like, you know, my favorite part, not even like bad stories necessarily, but what I love about Hollywood and movie making and TV making is when they go, this didn't work, so we had to throw everything away, or like, why did you do this scene? Well, because we didn't have the money to do
scene
A, so we had to make it scene B, and that's why it's an iconic scene or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's the sort of stuff.
Why'd you fire this person? He flipped a catering table.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like.
Yeah, so onto a little boy.
That's exactly right. So, like, you know, some of the one of the stories I saw on Twitter from this, apparently for Spider-Man No Way Home, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire didn't sign on until 2 months before they started filming.
Oh, my God. So what are they going to do?
That's the question, isn't it? That is precisely the question.
I guess just not make it?
Well, so, I mean, of those two,
yeah.
If I had to pick a favorite Spider-Man in the movie, it'd be Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't in it.
But if you had to. Before the movie came out, if you had to pick one that would get people in,
it'd be Tobey Maguire,
right?
Because the idea would be like, oh, it's the new Spider-Man, he meets the OG Spider-Man kind of thing. You could take Andrew Garfield out, I guess. But if you took Tobey Maguire out, he's meeting the Spider-Man from a couple
from
of movies.
3 years ago?
A couple of movies that nobody likes. But if you take them both out, what is it then?
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
He meets Mary Jane Watson or something from another dimension.
He meets a different Aunt May.
Yeah, exactly.
The Aunt May's meet. Sally Field Aunt May meets other Aunt May.
Oh, my God. Well, I saw a bit that this week or last week about that they were going to put in Kirsten Dunst originally and Sally Field and whatever, and they were like, this movie's already 4 hours long and we can't have it be longer than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Look, I flipped open to a page at random. Yep. I'm telling you this. It's about Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
Oh, what does it say?
I don't know.
No.
Just says Feige and Arad, Avi Arad, weren't yet in a position to greenlight the right version of Ant-Man. Anyway, blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, anyway, blah blah blah.
Anyway, I'm very excited for that. I'm gonna read this at some point.
I'm not gonna read it. But you tell me about it.
Okay, I will.
Maybe we'll do it for the book club.
Oh, we could do it for the book
club.
We
could do an actual book for the book club.
We could do a book for the book club.
Okay, cool.
No one can stop us, can they?
Maybe if we did both read that, we could do an episode on it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we could.
Yeah.
All right. We should.
Cool.
All right.
I watched New Rick and Morty. I settled into the voices.
Okay.
I think there is something I don't like Justin Roiland. And even though, like, technically cleared, I guess, a lot of really unpleasant, weird stuff with, like, minors and just, like, weird power dynamics that, you know, that you don't need to defend him. You can just be, you know what I mean? You don't
I'm not going to defend him. I wasn't going to defend
you
him.
You specifically, basically, you don't need to.
Fine, I'll put my prepared statement away.
Yeah.
I won't defend him.
But he did do good voices. But I think as the episode went, I just stopped noticing. So I think it's going to be fine.
Mm.
And it'll largely depend on the writing.
Okay.
But I'm also halfway watching the movie Old Dads on Netflix.
Yes.
Which is the Bill Burr directed comedy where they're old dads.
Written by Bill Burr, starring Bill Burr and Bobby Cannavale and another guy.
Yes. And it's
would you say it's great?
No, it's
good.
You know the problem, because it's that thing, and I like Bill
James,
Burr.
James, you're gonna have a Bill Burr style rant right now.
Maybe I will. Mm. Burr, I'm from Boston. Burr, burr, burr. But I think Bill Burr is like really thoughtful in his comedy, and even though he's like an older comedian, he's not all just like, are you triggered? Is this too snowflake? Like, he does do variations on that, but he thinks about it.
Yeah,
like, his comedy is still good, right? Mm-hmm. But this is so much just like, I met another dad and he was a vegan. I met this mum and she was triggered. She's triggered. She said that she's triggered because I said a word and she didn't like the word. Oh, why don't these kids they fall over? Why don't they get up or whatever? And it's fucking exhausting. And it's also, it feels like.
I'm just imagining him just in a room by himself. Well, movie, he's just sitting there being like, these kids and this woman.
But a lot of it is that, because he's just like standing and he's like, oh, he's just driving. And then it's just like the Bill Burr podcast, voiceover.
Uh-huh.
Just like, I hate this person because they said they, you know, I wasn't allowed to use this word back in my day or whatever. And the kids, they got no respect. And, you know, the people, and they're always on Twitter and blah, blah. It's just that, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's just, and I said this to you before the show, it feels like, it's basically making commentary on like younger parents. And I'm not like a young parent, but I'm younger than Bill Burr or whatever.
That's
whatever.
So true.
And these parents, like, they don't exist. Like, the parents that you're talking about, I'm sure there are, like, pockets of LA where there are people like this, or like, oh, my kid, he drank a green juice, but you put something in it. Like, I'm sure that these people are real. But if you go anywhere, any corner of the globe, you're talking about people that don't fucking exist. You're complaining about people that aren't real.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is just normal. And just getting by, and they don't give a shit about other parents or what other kids are doing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just, and if you're standing around being like, this is too wicked, whatever, No, it's just it's just not how things are.
Wow.
Anyway, that was my Bill Burr style rant. Mason, what do you think?
I love it.
I'll make a movie. It's called Dad Who Doesn't Want to Talk to Other Dads.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
Just does his own stuff. And it's just you and you're in the shopping, you're in the supermarket, and then you see another dad and you just hide around. It's sort of a thriller. And you just hide around a corner, you wait till he leaves and then you check out.
To be fair, I do have other dads that are friends now, Mason. You know that about me.
I do.
I'm getting out and among it because it's good for the community. It's good for my kids to see that I'm capable of conversing with other people.
That is true. Otherwise, you look like a freak.
They need to know that I can do that. You should do that.
You don't want any of your kids telling other kids, yeah, my dad's a real weird shut-in freak.
Yeah, he's a YouTuber.
That's right. Every time he sees another dad, he goes, like he's a Nosferatu.
Anyway, check it out. Old Dad's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's really good. So back
it's not even that bad.
Yes.
Like, it's...
It's a waste of time?
It's a waste of fucking time. But then again, like, Bill Burr and Bobby Cannavale.
That sounds like
that's a great pairing.
Yeah.
And whoever the other guy is, I can't remember.
The third guy.
Yeah.
Let's look up the third guy.
Yeah.
So plot-wise, if we can go back to Rick and Morty for a second.
Bokeem Woodbine, that's right. Yeah.
He's also good in many things.
I agree, yeah. See, Thomas Howell is in it for some reason.
Okay.
Anyway.
Speaking of Rick and Morty, plot-wise, what's going on there? Is there an ongoing
It was
plot?
Just like a filler one.
Okay, so this isn't... How many episodes is the new season?
I think it's going to be 10. Or
but how many episodes have happened?
It'll be... When this goes out, there'll be 2.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, then.
Yeah, so there you go.
Great.
Happy with that?
Okay, so there doesn't seem to be any...
I think they are going to do the overarch of, like, Evil Prime Rick or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I've lost the thread of that. Like his wife died or something?
Yeah, his wife died at some point.
Great.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm not going to worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it.
All right. I think
I'm some old dad. I'm not going to go on a big rant about how Rick and Morty isn't how it used to be.
I can't even have a beer. I have to have a, whatever, you know, I have to have a water.
Wow.
I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
You have to have a water.
That's unconscionable.
Yeah.
Should we do lettuce?
Yeah, man.
Nice. It's time for lettuce.
The classic one was lettuce, oh lettuce, we love you. Some lettuce, they're only a day away.
I know they're here right now. We're gonna do lettuce.
Damn, it's lettuce time. And this is the segment of the show where you can send a letter via hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Mason, in terms of letters, what do you got this week?
This is an email from Ben.
Ben?
He says, another car crash caused by the Weekly Planet, ?
I don't know. Is it? Did it?
We'll find out.
All right, here we go.
Ben says, hi, guys. Sorry for the clickbait title, but I was involved in a fender bender while listening to the Best of 2021 episode.
Well, I was involved in a bender fender, which
what does
is
that
a Futurama
mean?
Fan club.
It's great.
Yeah.
Fender?
Shut up.
Will you play a little guitar?
Remember you were talking earlier about how not everything is anything and
nope.
This podcast doesn't work?
No, I said everything always works and it's perfect as long as you put the hard yards in. So get your head in the game is what I said.
Fine.
And you didn't listen.
I did the old dad thing. Wasn't that good enough?
No, that was pretty
good. I feel
good.
Like that gives me some leeway
yeah,
for the rest
love
of the
that.
Show.
People out there
they
will be
love
like,
that.
They'll be like, I love one of James's rants, they'll say. They'll say, I love it. You should get some help, they'll say.
Yeah, I
and
should
I
get
delete
some help.
Those emails before you see them. But you should know they're always emailing you. Ben says, I was rear-ended and while I was disoriented trying to gather myself, I couldn't find my phone as it continued to play the Becker theme.
Nice.
In hindsight, it's kind of funny, but in the moment was very annoying. Now when I look at my damaged car, all I can hear is that stupid guitar riff. Thank you for the great content that inspired me to start my own podcast, WRPL Podcast.
Oh.
Although it's extremely unsuccessful, we're having fun doing that.
Well, that's good.
Is that like a radio call sign? It sounds like that.
What is it?
WRPL Podcast.
WRPL.
Have you seen any of the new Frasier reboot?
I was about to ask you that because speaking of Becker, cheers.
Frasier.
No.
Woody Harrelson, Haymitch.
Yeah.
From Hunger Games.
Why would I want to watch Frasier, but he's hanging out with 8 fucking other people?
Young people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yuck.
Yuck.
They're probably always on their iPads.
Vegans. They're on their vegan iPads.
But he's probably, is he vegan? I don't know.
No.
Is he?
He'd be like, oh, some truffles and
salmon.
The caviar. Ooh. And also, nobody else. Where's Niles?
What are you doing?
This is Daphne.
Like season 1 Picard.
Yeah.
Just put everybody in it.
Yeah.
Put the dog back in it. Stuff the dog, put it on wheels, roll
say,
it onto
say
set.
He's gotten cloned.
Say
like,
he got cloned.
We cloned the dog and the dad.
Yeah.
Look, all I say is I hope they haven't closed the door on any of the characters in the show.
Yeah.
Like I hope they haven't been Niles exploded or whatever.
Roz killed Niles and then she killed herself.
Yeah, exactly.
That, right. I mean, that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. And these young people will be like, we don't know who any of these people are.
What are you talking about,
Dad? What are you talking about? We're new guys.
We're new.
We're new guys and we're vegan.
Is he in New York?
He's not in Seattle.
Yeah.
He moved. Yeah, no, no good.
Where is Frasier revival set? Boston. Huh. Is that where Cheers is set?
Maybe.
Where is Cheers?
Cheers original set.
New York. Yeah, but so why are they doing, what's happening? If you put, okay, if you're setting it in Boston, you yes. just do Cheers as well, right?
You just do Cheers.
You do maybe Cheers, Frasier combination.
Maybe.
That much, you're leaving money on the table.
Maybe he goes back, maybe he goes back to Cheers in the last episode. We don't know yet.
Maybe I feel the blues are calling.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe he goes back to, maybe we're speaking too soon. Maybe at the end, he's like, well, I haven't worked out. Maybe he's, at the end, he's like, he's gotten along with his new friend. He doesn't like the new friends, yeah, the young sure, people yeah. who are all vegans or whatever. And he's like, well, maybe they finally get along. And then he's like, well, I'll take you to a little place I know. It's called Cheers.
Yeah.
And they go down to Cheers and now it's a bloody vegan axe throwing place or something. And he's like, no, no. This is vegan.
Oh, man.
Where's the caviar?
Do they have caviar?
Nope. He would bring his own.
He probably would bring his own. I want him to go, I want to check out a little place I know called Cheers because I want to know who's dead and who's not.
That's right.
Anyway, I got a tweet here from Nick Fisher who says, the results of the referendum gutted me, but hearing Mr. Sunday Movies give out some suggestions for great films to watch cheered me up. Cheers, Weekly Planet Pod. Yeah, thank you so much. And speak for saying that. And it'll be fine. I don't know whether it'll be fine. Mm. You know, everything is ongoing. Everything is in flux. Things can still be changed. Mm. Speaking of suggestions, Mason.
Go on.
My pod's suggestible. Oh, yes. I've taken a hiatus. We did one more big episode.
Yeah, the big episode. He finally promised you would.
That's right. So wow. That's out if you do want to check it out. It's the less successful podcast I do with my wife. So, yeah, we basically talk about
the less successful podcast you did with your wife.
Yeah, that's right, because it is currently on hiatus. Mm. And it might be back in the new year or it might not. I don't know. It depends. Will we have another kid? I hope not. But what if we do?
How could you?
Even older dads.
You got it all taken off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know, Mason, with modern technology.
That is so true.
What else you got
I'm
there?
I'm going to find a letter.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, it's from Quentin who says, greetings and salutations, James and Meso. Have either you checked out / heard Scud, the Disposable Assassin?
Yeah, I remember Scud.
Me too, but I don't think I've ever read it.
Oh, I read it back
in the day. Bought the whole shebang full comic series, and I think it's deranged enough to make a good TV show.
Rob... He's done stuff since then. Like he's, hang on, the guy who made that.
Mason, why don't you search for a letter and I'll search
okay,
the other
thing.
Okay,
if you could do that.
Rob Schraub.
He's a TV guy now. He does a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah, there you go. He's on Harmontown. He's on the Sarah Silverman show.
There you go.
He's on Heat Vision and Jack.
Oh, yeah.
That show that got cancelled.
Jack Black
in like the 97 or whatever.
His name out from Lawrence.
Lawrence?
Lawrence.
We've got Ben and Lawrence.
That's right.
Whoa.
Hey, James and Mace, I wanted to give a late congratulations on the 500 episodes.
Yeah.
I started watching you guys when I was 9 years old. I should have asked you to brace yourself.
That can't be true.
With your Avengers Age of Ultron trailer videos and have been a faithful consumer of your content ever since.
Consume.
I'm now 18 and do grown-up stuff like college and work. Until Mace's contract is up, I'm not going to stop tuning in anytime soon.
When is your contract up?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Thank you guys for always giving me something to look forward to and making me feel at home with friends that have the same obscure interests as me. Hope the next 500 are as great as the last. Can't wait for Snake Eyes next week.
I know, right? How weird is it when we're like 7 years older than some of our listeners?
Right? It's crazy.
So weird.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, look at us. Look at us. We're like old Gen Z.
That's right. We're just like old Gen Z. Thank you so much. Wow, what a journey.
We're on TikTok.
This one's from... He's doing a dance. So from Nathan, who says, I don't know what kind of dance is. Oh, he's pointing at different things. Yeah, he's doing the TikTok point. He's pointing at a McDonald's cup. He's pointing at the MCU book. He's pointing at his balls. Nathan says, are you guys going to watch the new Goosebumps show? I know it was mentioned in the last few episodes for 0.2 seconds, but you did say that Disney Plus needs to start doing things that aren't just Marvel and Star Wars. Yeah, look, I probably won't watch. I said that, but I probably won't watch Goosebumps.
Mm.
I haven't watched anything Goosebumps in... or read anything in like a long time. Mm. My kids are a little too young for Goosebumps.
Yeah, right.
If they're a little bit older, I probably would.
Okay. See, I've never read any of it.
I so read
it's,
so many
you
Goosebumps.
Say it's too scary for.
I would say so. Yeah.
How old do you think you have to be?
Probably
10.
I probably started about 10, 11.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But you know, it depends on your kid.
That's
you know?
True.
Depends on your kid.
Is a kid a real gross kid who loves gross stuff?
Yeah. If you're a gross, if you got a gross little rat bag kid, yeah, like scary stuff.
If your gross little rat bag kid is always like, for my birthday, I want a cake with a weird doll on it or whatever. We haven't watched Goosebumps.
Yeah, get him the cake.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
get,
yeah,
get him
yeah,
watch
yeah,
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mason?
Last week, someone asked on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Is there someone you're – is there an actor you're only familiar with from their, like, online presence but not –
but not them in anything.
And I don't anything. Somebody said Steven Seagal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I've ever seen a like a full Steven Seagal movie.
You're right. Wow. Not even Under Siege 2?
Not even Under Siege 2, the one where he's on the train.
Under Siege on the train? Wow.
Ah, this train's under siege.
Wow. They took my Palm Pilot. They did. He had to get his Palm
Pilot
back.
Yeah, he had his Palm Pilot back, yeah.
They thought it just had recipes, but it also had a keto on it.
Did it?
Yeah, keto moves.
Wow.
So I can remember them.
Well, why wouldn't he just remember them if he was a master of a keto?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he just remember them? Wouldn't muscle memory – well, he's not all muscle.
But James,
his muscle
James,
memory take
you, you don't know anything about that, and I'm going to destroy you with a keto. So if you could just attack me,
no, I don't
if
want
you could
it.
Just attack me, and I'll use your momentum,
and then I'll and then I'll roll into
yeah.
the next room.
Yeah, yeah, if you okay. can do that. Yeah, yeah.
I've rolled out the door.
Yeah, I messed it up.
What? I'm not supposed to have rolled out the door.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm coming back now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to find one.
You should have looked at your Palm Pilot before you did your keto.
My Palm Strike Pilot. Yeah. Yeah. This is an email from Scott. The subject line says, did James predict coronavirus?
Yes.
So I haven't read this, but I'm going to read it.
Here we go.
Ooh, this is from Scott. He says, hey, boys, while listening to the 2019 Q&A episode on Big Sandwich,
there we go.
I noticed that the 133.14 mark, James mentions a virus that will kill us all. Is James secretly a member of the Illuminati? Is this another piece of the puzzle as to what makes him tick?
Yes, but also it didn't kill us all.
That's true, it didn't.
So, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't technically correct.
But seriously, thanks for sharing these episodes. They're a goldmine to me, an avid listener. I especially enjoyed hearing more about Barry, but still I'm stupefied as he can be possibly be funnier than you guys.
That's so true.
Yeah, he is funny though.
Yeah, but not as funny as us.
I haven't seen him lately though.
I've changed my mind.
Do you think he's been, yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine him being deeply sad also.
Yeah, he's when just he's deeply sad. He's, like, he's not deeply sad at the moment.
Yeah,
so when he's deeply sad, he's very funny.
Oh, that's nice. That would be funny.
Go on.
That's what I got.
Wow, should we wrap up the show then?
Let's wrap up the whole show.
Wow. Forever? Maybe I hear the blues are calling, a salad and scrambled eggs. I think that's enough emails, Mason.
That's plenty of emails.
Yeah. We got to go pick up some dogs. Literal dogs.
Oh, okay. Not a metaphor. Okay. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Whoa. Episode 501. We've done it.
We did it.
A lot of people said, hey, congratulations on 500. Here's the 500 more. And I say yes, and then we stop.
Yeah.
Never again. Then we have a big lie down.
Yeah. Oh, another
big lie down. We do episode 1000. We have a big lie down. And then we reconsider our life choices. And then we see if we do 500 more after that.
I agree.
See how we go. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for liking the podcast and telling your friends about the podcast.
Oh, my God.
And subscribing to the podcast, new podcast catcher of choice.
That's right.
And leaving a 5-star review on said podcatcher.
Bringing
do it in app. James probably has some 5-star reviews. If you leave a 5-star review, James will read it out.
This is from RobbieRob89. It says, 5 stars. I can't believe I've been listening to these fools for 5 years now. This is the first podcast I listen to on a regular basis, and I still do to this day. But if you ever change the theme song, I'll have to change this to a 1-star review.
Whoa.
Well, I did. So this is after that?
Yeah.
Also, can I be the official Kentucky lawyer of the podcast?
Yes. Are you a big chicken?
Are you a big city lawyer? It'd be not a big city lawyer.
He's a big chicken.
He would say, do you open every like court case with, I'm no big city lawyer?
If you could.
And they're like, we're all not, none of us are big city lawyers.
That's
we're
right.
only Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
If you could open one of your court cases with that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know? Record it on your phone.
Yeah.
Send it to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this one's from Mark Fernando. He says, you guys are the best podcast of all time, hands down. I'm very into podcasts.
Me too.
But listening to this and many others around, been listening to this and many others for around 8 years now. These guys are the best. They've inspired me to take up writing for film internships because of James' background and their common knowledge of all things in life as it relates to the greatest art film of all time. It's truly magnificent and something very important. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Good luck with your internships.
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord. Thank you to Maisie and Sarabi and Fidel for moderating over there and getting all sorts of other stuff done, including YouTube Weekly Planet Clips channels and TikToks and so on and so forth. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first, I would recommend following, our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. Whoa. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
He's on Twitter.
He'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
That's right. Even if you don't want to, he will.
If you don't want to. Follow myself on Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Mace on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you'd like to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck or an amount. You wouldn't miss if it was gone. You fall out of your pocket.
That's right.
Fill out of your pocket, down the street, into the sewers. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll have it.
We'll grab that shiny coin as it comes into the sewer.
Just tell it where it is and we'll go get it.
That's right. We'll swim through all that various matter. Or if you've got some big bucks to spend, you can go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month. You get bonus podcasts, early videos, movie commentaries, video game let's plays, and there's old Q&As. Bit of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently. They'll dig through, like, people are going to dig through, like, they dig through and they, like, they dug through on the MCU book.
That's right.
Find some dirty secrets about us.
Very dirty. Because next week will be our Halloween episode where we can do the Five Nights at Freddy's movies. We can watch Saw X. Yeah. Which I think might be out on streaming this week.
Ooh.
We could do Halloween. What's it called? The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
We could do all these good movies. Yeah. No, I heard it's bad too.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Terrific. I love that. Folks, thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. T-shirts are over at tpublic.com. You search for The Weekly Planet, you'll find a T-shirt.
Yeah, you'll find a T-shirt.
Or a mug or a pillow or something.
Yeah, you're a mug.
Oh, come on, mate.
Yeah, mate. That's for you.
And that's the whole show?
That's right. Next week, something.
I love that.
And the week after, something else.
Oh, my God.
But then we stop. All right.
Great. So we're stopping at 503?
Yeah, because that means I've done 500.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Great.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.